Again, I want to greet each one in the name of our Lord and Savior. Glad for another opportunity to be in the Lord's house. And also, like to say that it's been a blessing to us to be here and to fellowship with you again, to renew acquaintances and learn to know people we didn't know before very well, or at least not very well or not at all. And so it's been a joy for us to be here, and we thank you for your hospitality and care for us while we were here, even though it was quite short. I appreciate what was given here in the devotional, and it goes along good with what I want to share this evening, or part of it anyway, what I want to share, that Jesus caring for them. And also, we know that down to our present day, he is caring for us. And I'd like for, trust that we can take that challenge from the devotional, that the Lord does care about our needs, about our problems, our sicknesses, and things. He cares about it. And he wants to do what he can to help us. And even though sometimes maybe we wonder why he doesn't answer quicker, yet we know that he is working in our life. We're glad for that. Thank the Lord for that. Jesus, God, our Lord and Savior, are so important in our life. And someone has put it this way, that nothing in life or in eternity is more important than God. And think about that. I believe that's true. That God is the most important thing in our life. Now and in eternity will be the most important thing. We want to talk a little bit about that a little later in the message. Now, this evening I'd like to talk about the post-resurrection days. I don't know if you ever pondered the thought of what took place here when all through the Old Testament, they had the sacrifices, they had the temple there, they had holy place, they had the most holy place, they had the veil there in the temple, so that no one would go into the most holy place without proper blood and the proper person and the proper conditions. Everything had to be just exactly right, or they would die. And now that veil was rent, and it from top to bottom, and it opened that up. I've often wondered what they did. I'm supposing that they probably got some big needles, and they probably tried to fix this thing up. I'm guessing that they did. The Bible doesn't say. But as we look at this post-resurrection day, there's two principles I'd like for us to consider, and that is, one is the use of the Lord of Sunday as the Lord's day, as a day of worship, a day set aside for worship. And also, salvation by faith. Those are two principles that I believe were come out very clear as we look at the days after Christ's resurrection. And then there is another aspect that I think is quite important, and I think we'll look at that first of all, and that is in 1 Corinthians 15, and it talks about the witnesses of Christ's resurrection. And you know, when any facts are given, things are given, people want to know who the witnesses are. What are the facts in it? In 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1, Paul writing here, and I just want to notice this briefly, but it's important that we recognize that there were witnesses, not just a few, but a lot of witnesses of his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present. Some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And we notice here the number of witnesses that witnessed the fact that Christ rose from the dead. And this helps us to believe. And that is one of the principles we see here coming out after the resurrection. Also, just note here in verse 10, Paul brings out, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. The unmerited love and of God to us who are unworthy, he has manifested his grace to us so that we can become children of God. And also he talks about, mentioned that we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are sons. Christ was the only begotten Son of the Father, and we as Christians are also children, the children of God. And that is hard for us to comprehend also, isn't it? But it's because of the love and the grace of God. And I want to talk about that towards the end of the message. Now, the first day of the week being the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And let's notice in John chapter 20. So John chapter 20, and there, we will repeat maybe a few verses that I read this morning, but get some different thoughts out of some of these here. John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 23. Now, this here helps us to establish why we have the first day of the week, or why we use Sunday, have Sunday as a day of worship. And I'd like to mention also that, I don't know if, I hope all of you have a Doctrines of the Bible. If you'd like to study a little more on that, because I'm not going to give very much on it, but if you'd like to study that a little more, and the Doctrines of the Bible has a chapter on why on the Lord's Day, and it brings out very clearly why we use Sunday instead of Saturday. Some people get a little confused, and it's also some people say, well, kind of take this idea, well, you know, just so we have a day, a 24-hour period that we set aside for the Lord. But I don't believe that's what we find here from the New Testament example. And again, I say, if you want to study that, or are interested in that, go to the Doctrines of the Bible and study that chapter. I think it's a fairly lengthy chapter, and it's very easy to understand. It's substantiated with the Scripture. So take a look at that when you want to do a little study. Now, here in John chapter 20, in the first verse, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, again, the first day of the week on your calendar, if you look on the calendar, the first day of the week is Sunday, isn't it? Sunday. In the Old Testament, they kept the Sabbath, which was Saturday. And so we do not keep the Sabbath anymore. We keep the Lord's Day. Go to verses 19 and following in the same chapter. It says, then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now we see Jesus here coming and meeting with them on the first day of the week. Now, I believe I'm right. This was the day of that he rose. I think I'm right on that. That this was the resurrection day, yet it was towards evening that he came and met with them. And that was the same day that he met those two on the road to Emmaus. Now, also going on down a little further, then we have here from verses 26 to 29, we have here the experience of Thomas. And after 8 days again, now, what day would that have been? The first day of the week, he'd met with them there. Then 8 days later, what would have been? It would have been the first day of the week again, when it had been Sunday. Again, we maybe don't, we say there's 7 days in a week. But in the Spanish culture, they'll say, you know, 8 day call 8 days. You know, 8 days from now, that's a week. It's Sunday. It's 1 week, the eighth day. So counting today, you have 7 days throughout the week, and then next Sunday would be the eighth day from now. If you understand that. So this was again on the first day of the week, verse 26 rather. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas. Now remember, Thomas, another account, or was it right here? No, another account, Thomas had doubted him. The disciples told him they'd seen the Lord. He said, Except I see the prints in his hands, and thrust my hand to his side, he said, I won't believe. Now, Jesus talking to Thomas. Then said Jesus to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, believing is such an intricate part. How should I say? More than just intricate. It's imperative. It's a must. Believing is a requisite. We have to believe if we're going to have salvation. We have to believe, and that's what some people struggle with. That they don't believe. They can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They doubt. But if we want salvation, we have to believe that Jesus died for our sins. We have to believe that his blood can take away our sins if we confess them and accept him as our Lord and Savior. So Thomas here was believed after he saw. Jesus said, Blessed are they that believe even though they have not seen and still believe. So that comes to us today, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if there's anyone here tonight that would have any doubt that Jesus lived on this earth, that he suffered, that he died, gave his life, and then he rose again. I think we all believe that. And we may take that, feel like, well, you know, we've been taught that since we were little. Most of us have. And it's just something that we just believe. But We must accept that. We must believe that. There are people that have not been taught like we have, and it is harder for some of those to believe that. Now, when they see some of the signs, and this was what also followed there in the New Testament era, after Christ's resurrection and after his he left this earth, there were many signs done. So then here we see in chapter 20 again, verses 30 and following, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." There was these signs after his resurrection were to verify, also to verify that he was the Son of God. And in John chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. And that statement to me is just fantastic, just almost unimaginable. If all the things that Jesus did when he was before his crucifixion and after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, all that he did would be written that the world could hardly contain the books. Now, I'm going to say a little something about that a little later on. And it opens up a realm to us as we think of the signs that Jesus did, all these signs, all the wonders that he did, all the miracles he performed. It just opens up to us a proof of his divinity, of his godliness, that he was the Son of God. So on. And some of those things, like the leper, incurable disease. And yet Jesus, he said, "I will." And he was immediately changed from having all white all over, or however he was, may have had some fingers off, some of them lose fingers, toes, even limbs. But he was immediately healed. He was okay immediately. True sign. Now, again in Luke 24, we read that this morning, but I'm going to go to that just for a different thought this evening here. And that is the expression or the response that those two had there as they went down to Emmaus, and then as they knew that it was the Lord. And the reason I'm bringing this in is to help us to recognize that they recognized truly that this was Jesus, and they believed. Luke 24, verse 13 and following. "And behold, two of them went the same day into a village called Emmaus." I don't want to read all that. I think I'm just going to notice verse 17. I read that this morning. And in verse 17, they told him about what had happened, you know. And he says unto them in verse 17, "And he said unto them, what manner of conversation are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" They were, as they walked, they were discussing this. And as he came, he could see that they were sad. They were burdened. There was something wrong. And so he asked him about it. And they told him. And then you go down to verse 30. It says, "It came to pass, as they sat at meat with them, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and break and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture?" They remember how they felt. There was something there that was real, that was different, as he spoke to them, and their hearts burned within them, but they didn't realize why. And then notice, and this was in the evening, it was time to go to bed, but notice what happened. "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found that 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, and saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. when they knew the Lord and they believed that it was Him, the change and the excitement and the thrust that He put within them to go back and to tell the other disciples. also here in Luke 24. Verse 36. verse 36. You notice here that what else happened here in this part. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst. They notice here they had told the ones from Emmaus, told them what the disciples what had happened. And as they thus spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me, and see for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And notice verse 45. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Notice here He opened their understanding, enlightened them. And then in verse 47 also, it says, And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Notice here again, after He had enlightened them, helped them to understand, opened their understanding, and they could recognize all the scriptures that were the prophecies that were written about Christ. And now He says, and ye are witnesses of these things. They were the ones that had seen it. They were the ones to tell that when we have something happen, something happens, an accident or things of this nature, they always look for witnesses, people who saw what happened. And if you are a witness, you don't tell them, my brother told me this is what happened, or I think this is what happened. You have to say, this is what I saw. I know this happened. I saw it with my own eyes. I'm a witness. Now, again, during these days, Jesus was not with them all the time anymore. And we can kind of feel for the disciples. They had been with Jesus these last number of months, had been very intense. And it appears as if they had gone from one place to another and were very busy. Sometimes didn't even have time to eat and so on because of the crowd. Now all of a sudden this is all stopped. And there was somewhat of a void there. Notice here in chapter 21, John 21. Here we have the disciples trying to decide what something to do, need something to do. And chapter 21, verse 1, it says, After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Well, now, I don't know if any of you brethren ever go fishing all night or not. I never have, but don't have much of a fisherman. But anyhow, they fished all night, and these men had been fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew how to do it, but that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, But when the morning was come, it was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, that would have been John, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of fishes, 153. And for all they were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And some of the disciples durst not ask, and none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkedest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Now Jesus here, in this here, testing here of Peter, we know that Peter denied Jesus three times. I don't know if that's why Jesus did ask him three times, but I kind of think it was. It appears to me it could be that. He's asking Peter, Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Now, I don't know if he meant the other disciples or the fish or what, but do you love me more than these? They'd just taken in a large draught of fish. And I know that the fishermen I know, if they could get 153 fish, they'd be pretty excited. Joe Mass would be extremely excited if he'd get 53 fish. If you know Joe very well, likes the fish. And he don't have to get 153 to be excited. But he's very excited. But Jesus asked Peter, Do you love me more than these? You love me more than these. And I think that is a challenge for us. Now, it's not wrong to go fishing. kept within proper bounds, I think it can be overdone, especially if it takes a lot of money. If you go like Joe does, it don't cost very much normally. But anyhow, some of these things, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fishing, but Jesus asked Peter, Do you love me more than these? Are you willing to yield yourself? Are you willing to sacrifice your life? And he says, when Peter says yes, he said, feed my lambs. And then he says, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. he had work to do besides going fishing. And I believe that Peter moved right into that and did that work when the proper time came. There's one thought I missed back here where it talks that he opened their understanding. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit being given. But he opened their understanding about the Old Testament scriptures, and that was even before the Holy Spirit was given to them. And that's interesting to me that he helped them understand. Before, it seemed like they didn't quite understand the Old Testament scriptures. But he opened their understanding. And then when the Holy Spirit was given to them, the Holy Spirit guided them also in this. And they were able then to show the world, the people they taught, how the scripture was fulfilled in Christ. Now we come to that, the promise of the Father, Luke 24 and verse 49. Here we have he says, Jesus, talking here yet, again, he says, after he had told them, and you're witnesses of these things, he said, behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, notice here, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. Now, he had talked about this before. He said, if I go away, then if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. The Holy Spirit couldn't come. So he said he needed to go to the Father, then he would send the Holy Spirit to them. And here he tells them that. He said, behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you. He told them to tarry at Jerusalem, to wait for this. Then, in verse 50, following, it says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You notice here then that as he had made the promise, gave them that promise, then he was taken up from them. Now, again, we have the proof here of his ascension from the disciples being there, and I believe, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think his 12 disciples were the ones that were with him when he was taken up. Now, if anyone would know that was not right, there's more, and I'd like for you to mention that. But I'm not sure that there's anyone there besides the 12 apostles. Does anyone know that there was more? I could be wrong. I think it was only the 12 apostles that were with him, or the 11 that were with him there when he was taken up. Now, then he had made the promise of the Holy Spirit being given. So then we have that then. If we go to the book of Acts, we have that happening. go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Now, this is not, I know it's not new. These are not new things we're looking at, but it helps us to remember what Jesus promised and what happened here. And I'm not going to read this all, but it says, chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And then And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? And then it mentions all the different nationalities and people that were understanding the word as it was preached. And we know the story, how that Spirit gave them the ability to speak, and as they spoke, others heard in their own language. Now, today we have people that, there are people that say, well, if you can't talk in tongues, why, you really don't have the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to talk in tongues. Well, we know what happened here. They spoke, and each one of them understood in their own language. And God, I'm confident that that happens in our world today. And I know of examples of that, of where people have spoke to others in English, and they understood them in Spanish. God is able to do that, and he does do that. Now, again, I want to go back to where Jesus was taken up from them. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, and I do this here to bring us to the final thought that I want to bring out, and that is the fact that we are looking forward to going to be with him. In Acts chapter 1, and starting with verse 9, and we have spoken, but I'll back up a little bit here. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said and saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we have spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, as they saw him go, the angels came and said, He's going to come back in the same way. Now, we today are waiting for that, aren't we? We're waiting for that. We are still in the post-resurrection time. We are still here. We have received the witness of the apostles and all those that were witnesses of his life and of his resurrection. And we are waiting for him to come. And as we look at Scripture, and I'm not going to go into that, we understand, we know the Scripture, how it talks of the signs of his coming. There's going to be pestilence, there's going to be famines, there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, there's going to be suffering, and there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places, and natural disasters, and storms, and so on. And I think most of us here tonight recognize that in the last couple decades, it seems like storms and natural disasters and wars, it seems like they are just going up, earthquakes and so on, just more and more all the time. I know there wasn't quite the communication when I was young, but I don't remember anything to compare with what we are seeing today in natural disasters, and you've had it right here in your area recently. But it's happening just over and over and over in all parts of the world. I believe that it's a sign that the coming of the Lord is very soon. And I believe it's a challenge for us to to be waiting and to be ready. And like our brother brought out this evening in the devotion, it's a challenge for us to try to help others. How excited are we about about spreading the gospel, about sharing it with others? What is our burden for them? Eternity is forever, never stops. And as we think of souls going to eternal damnation, if we really just let it penetrate our minds, it's hard for me, almost can drive myself crazy thinking about the tremendous suffering and separation from God for eternity, not throughout, but because it's never going to end, but in eternity. And if you have a hard time understanding eternity, you think about space. They're sending space vehicles out into space, and they are going for years. I don't know how many years they've had some of them going away from the Earth. I think it's at 34,000 miles an hour, and that's an unthinkable speed for us, isn't it? And to think that they would go 10 years, or I think some of them are more than that yet, and they are not even penetrating space hardly at all. They're just barely getting started. So how far, where's the end of space? Where's the end of it? That helps me to understand eternity. Eternity past, God always was. How can that be? Well, he started, it was back there, and you go on, and you never get to the end of where it started. We look out the other way, eternity future, there's no end. There's no end to that. And when we think of people suffering in hell forever, never stopping, it creates a tremendous burden in us, doesn't it? But in Christ, we have new life. We have new birth. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll say this. I just want to say this. When we think about being enthused about the Lord, I think probably quite a number of you have known Fred Hostetler, wouldn't you? How many of you knew Fred Hostetler? Yeah. Well, Fred, if you knew him very well at all, you didn't have to be around him very long until he was going to be saying something about the Lord. It didn't matter who you were. If the president would have stopped at his house, he'd assume been talking to him about it, I'm sure. But when he got converted, it seemed like he just had a drive, and that drive was to tell people about the Lord. He hurt his hip one time and broke his hip, and he tried to put a replacement in there. It didn't work, and they had to take it back out, and he lived about 25 years without a hip joint, one hip. And they told him, he said he couldn't carry anything heavier than about 15 pounds. And he said, well, praise the Lord, my Bible don't weigh more than 15 pounds, he said. And but I just say that he was enthused. He was Christian for many, many years. I think it was about 25 or 30 when he got converted. But from then on till he died, he was enthusiastic about the Lord. Now, that's a challenge for us. I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And here, this here speaks about the new birth, about a new life. And I want to notice something here. let me say this first. As I mentioned, we are looking forward to Christ's return. And we are waiting for that. And we need to be constantly prepared for that time when he will come. Here he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That was our lot before we found Christ. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, which rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive, together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now notice here what it's all about, how it all came about. It's all through Christ. It's all because of Christ. And now, as I think of eternity, think of heaven. Do you contemplate and wonder what we're going to do in heaven? I got a new thought here recently, and I got the thought from, I was in Belize. They had the Central American Leaders meeting here a few weeks ago, and one of the brethren suggested talking a little bit about heaven, and he said, you know, in heaven, talk about how we're going to be doing in heaven. It gave me a new thought, and I looked up this scripture here. But he said, God is going to show us things. You know, some times here on this earth why someone maybe tells us something, say, oh, never thought of that. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Oh. He said, he believes in heaven, God's going to reveal things to us. Oh. Yeah. Here in verse 7, it says, now let me back and read here again. It says, for even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Now if all the things that Jesus did were written in a book and the world wouldn't even be able to contain it, eternity, God is going to show us in eternity. It seems like it will be a continual awe. He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Come back to Christ Jesus. Christ is the one. And it should give us a sense of tremendous awe as we think of what Christ did for us. We were condemned to hell. We were condemned to eternal death, eternal damnation. But Jesus came and he paid the price. He shed his blood, gave his life, suffered tremendously, horrendously, so that we might have eternal life. And we don't understand why God would even think of us. And when we think of the universe that God has created, and that it stays in its place by God's word, simply by God's word, that all these things were created and they all stay in their place right where they belong because of his word. He tells them to stay there, so they stay there. They're going to stay there until he tells them to move, to be destroyed. God, who is so great, and I'm told that the earth, compared to some of these tremendous stars, is only a little like a pinhead, or a pinpoint maybe even, almost unseeable in comparison to those great celestial beings. And then here we are, tiny little creatures on this pinpoint or pinhead, whatever you want to say, us as creatures here on this little spot, and yet God is mindful of us, and he sent Jesus to bring salvation to us. That should just fill our hearts and make us rejoice that he was willing to do that, and yet we feel totally unworthy of it. But it's in heaven, in the ages in the ages to come, it says, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He loved us so much, and so in heaven, we're going to experience that. We're going to experience the blessing of coming to a full knowledge in eternity, coming to a full knowledge of what he has done for us. Now, I'd like to go to Revelation chapter 21, read a few verses, and then chapter 22 in closing. Chapter 21, verse 1, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And in chapter 22, it says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophet, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy, words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we continue to seek him, to draw near to him, and live in anticipation for that day. And I believe it's going to be very soon. Lord bless you. Let us kneel for prayer.